Testing.
House will come to order. Give you a moment to take your seats, members. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the door. Members and visitors will please silence all electronic devices. The prayer will be offered by Representative Rick Glazier. Members and visitors in the gallery will please stand and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Glazier.
This is a prayer for our country adapted from a prayer written by Louis Ginsburg. Our God and God of our ancestors, we ask your blessings upon our country and state, and upon the leaders of our nation and communities. Inspire all of us who lead and serve to conduct our affairs honorably. May peace and security, happiness and prosperity, right and freedom abide among us. Unite the inhabitants of our state and nation of all backgrounds and creeds, so that we may banish hatred and bigotry, safeguard our noblest ideals, and preserve those institutions that nurture liberty and justice for all. May this land be an influence for good throughout the world, helping to secure to all at home and abroad peace and freedom, and thereby bring us closer to fulfillment of the visions of your prophets. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. For the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness calm, compassion, and confidence forever. And let us say, Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Representative Lewis is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for June 8th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it stand approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves that the journal for June 8th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Chaptered bills will be noted. The nurse for the day is Christy Parkhill. Is she here? If she's not here, we'll mention her later when she comes. Report of standing committees. Clerk will read.
Representatives McNeil and Ross, Pensions and Retirement Committee report. Senate Bill 77, increased Wilkes-Barre firearms pension, favorable.
Calendar.
Senate Bill 99, fire rescue and safety workers system changes, favorable.
Calendar. Messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
House Bill 16, repeal outdated reports, AB.
Calendar pursuant to Rule 36B. Upon motion of Representative... Is there another one? Special message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message received on June 2, 2015, that the House of Representatives failed to occur in House Bill 640, Senate Committee Substitute, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an Act to Preserve North Carolina Outdoor Heritage for Future Generations and amend various Wildlife Resources Commission laws, the President Pro Tem appoints Senator B. Jackson, Chair, Senators Brock, Clark, Newton, and Rayburn on the part of the Senate to confer with like committee appointed by an honorable body at the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Lane, Principal Clerk.
Noted. Upon motion of Representative Linda Johnson from Cabarrus, Chair is happy to extend the courtesies to the North Carolina Community College System Student Leadership Development Program and students from Rowan Cabarrus Community College. If you're here, please stand. Well, we'll miss you. We have two school groups. Representative John Bradford is their representative. Would the folks from Cornelius Elementary please stand? Okay. Here, you can tell me that. Upon motion of member from Wake, Representative Rosa Gill, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies to the gallery to Melanie Llewellyn, who's been helping homeless friends for over 20 years. And is she here? Yes, thank you. She's here first. Calendar, printed calendar. House Bill 560, the clerk will read.
Representatives Dobson, Adcock, and Stevens, House Bill 560, a bill to be entitled an act to provide the end of felony to assault hospital personnel and licensed health care providers who are providing or attempting to provide services in the hospital. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Dobson is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I make a motion that we do concur and also to debate the motion.
You're recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This House Bill 560 passed the House 115-0 back earlier in the session. It passed the Senate 47-1. There was one small amendment that was offered that changed the bill to make it a Class I felony for any hospital personnel and licensed health care providers who are providing or attempting to provide health care services to a patient in a hospital. That was one small change that was made in the Senate. Again, I would ask for your support to concur on the motion, and it passed the House 115-0, Senate 47-1. Appreciate your support. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Representative Dollar?
To ask a quick question of the bill sponsor.
Does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Representative Dobson, I apologize for not getting to you sooner, but can we assume there was no objection by any of the affected parties to the amendment that was tacked on by the Senate?
Thank you for the question. It was passed unanimously, so no objection.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the motion to concur in the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 560. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Got a few more people want to vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. The ayes are 106, the noes are 0, the motion is passed, and the bill will be enrolled and sent to the governor. Please take a look at the three local bills under second reading roll call. We can group those, plan to group them unless somebody asks for one of them or more of them to be pulled from the group. Does anyone, Representative Rodney Moore?
Mr. Speaker, I was in the chamber. I missed the vote. I want to be recorded as voting aye on the
motion. You'll be so recorded. Does anyone want to pull any of the three bills from the group? If not, the clerk will read the three House bills.
Representative Robinson, House Bill 266, a bill to be entitled an act to add certain described property to the corporate limits of the city of Lenore. Representative Brawley, House Bill 400, a bill to be entitled an act adding certain described property to the corporate limits of the town of Mint Hill. Representative Hager, House Bill 493, a bill to be entitled an act to remove certain described property from the corporate limits of the town of Lake Lure, subject to referendum. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion on debate on House Bill 266, House Bill 400, and House Bill 493? If not, the question before the House is the passage on second reading roll call of House Bill 266, House Bill 400, and House Bill 493. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. The ayes are 107. The noes are 2. The three bills are passed, House Bill 266, House Bill 400, House Bill 493 will be sent to the Senate and remain on the calendar. Strike that. Remain on the calendar for tomorrow. The next two bills can be grouped. They are second and third reading of two local bills. Clerk will read. Does anyone want to pull them apart? Representative Collins or Brody, are you asking to pull them apart or no?
No, Mr. Speaker. I was here and voted aye on 560, please.
All right. We'll be so recorded. Representative Collins, same thing.
Mr. Speaker, I made a mistake and I actually voted against my seatmate. It hit the wrong button. I'd like to be recorded as voting aye on that last bill.
You'll be so recorded. On the group. On the group. Representative Lubke.
I have a question about Senate Bill 139, so I would ask that they be separated.
They will be separated. Clerk will read Senate Bill 139.
Okay. Senator Davis, Senate Bill 139, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the charter of the town of Silver to authorize the town to adopt and enforce ordinances related to parking. Jonesville, North Carolina, enacts.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cherokee, Representative West, rise?
To debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
This bill would amend the charter of the town of Silver to authorize the town to adopt and enforce ordinances related to parking in the town of Silver. Appreciate your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Lubke, rise?
See if Representative West yields for question.
Does the gentleman from Cherokee yield to the gentleman from Durham?
Yes, sir. I'll try to answer.
Thank you, Representative West. It was indicated in committee that the town council did send this forward, and I think that kind of cooperation between the General Assembly and the towns it's extremely important. My question is this. In the bill, it says that after one ticket, a car can be towed. That seems a little strict, a little stringent to me. One ticket and you can be towed away. Do you have any concern about that from the standpoint of the residents?
Well, Representative, I don't represent the town of Silver. I was just handling this bill for Senator Davis, but knowing how Silver is, I guess parking places over there are at a premium.
Well, thanks. That was a good answer. Appreciate it. For not knowing anything about the bill, you did great.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
To speak on the bill, I do represent Silva.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Silva, and I think they do a very good job with Silva. One of the things they want to do is put wheel locks on the first ticket so they don't tow you away, and on the second ticket they will. And I can tell you, one of my young pages about 2 weeks ago got his car towed with one ticket right here in Raleigh. So I think this is a lenient approach. So I encourage your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 139 on its second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The House do have it. Senate Bill 139 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 139 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it despite the valiant attempt of Representative Haynes, and the bill is ordered and rolled. Senate Bill 142, the clerk will read.
Senators Meredith and Clark, Senate Bill 142, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce the number of members serving on the Cumberland County Civic Center Commission. General Assembly of North Carolina enact.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soka, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, what this bill does, it reduces our County Civic Center Commission from 16 members to 10. This was brought to us by the county commissioners. The county commissioners are in complete agreement on it. Everyone who currently serves on this commission agrees with it. There's no opposition. I ask for your vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 142 in its second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 142 passes its second reading and will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage. Senate Bill 142 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 142 passes its third reading and is ordered in roll. House Bill 192, the clerk will read.
Representatives McNeil, Faircloth, Hurley, and Glazier. House Bill 192, a bill to be entitled an act to establish compliance court costs and to direct the administrative office of the court to establish a system for electronic payment of compliance court costs. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
Debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Appreciate the opportunity to present House Bill 192 to you. Basically, what House Bill 192 does is there's around 210,000 compliance cases in North Carolina every year, mostly dealing with traffic citations. What this would do is it would establish a system where if a person went to court court date and showed compliance, the district attorney could dismiss the case with no cost. If they want to go to see the district attorney prior to that and they are able to comply, there would be a $50 cost, and it also directs AOC to come up with an online system within the next year so that the compliance cost could be reduced to $10. AOC, the clerks, are totally in favor of this, and district attorneys received a favorable report in Judiciary 2 and unanimous in Finance Committee. Mr. Speaker, at this time I'd like to send forth a technical amendment.
The gentleman is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative McNeil moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 30 through 32, by rewriting the lines to read.
The gentleman has the floor to explain the amendment.
Thank you. Basically, what this amendment does, gets the language on the first page where it says per citation, and it copies that language in two places on the back page so that the bill is consistent in its language. So I move approval of the technical amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment 1 sent forth by Representative McNeil. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The amendment is adopted. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 192 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representatives Brisson, Insko, Elmore, Warren, Ross, and Zachary, do the members wish to record on this vote? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 192 passes its second reading and will remain on the calendar. House Bill 424, the clerk will read.
Representatives Stevens and Glazier. House Bill 424, a bill to be entitled an act to extend the provision of foster care to the age of 19 years and to make various conforming statutory changes, authorize the Social Services Commission to adopt rules implementing the expansion of foster care through age 19, provide for an extension of guardianship services through the age 19, require submission of the state plan amendment to draw down federal IVE funds for expansion of foster care through age 19 and appropriate funds for implement the purpose of this act. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose does the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
For motion.
Ladies recognized for motion.
Ms. Speaker, I would move that we put this to the end of the calendar. I need to do a fairly simple amendment, and if we could put it at the end of the calendar, we should be ready.
Chair will direct that the bill be removed this time and done at the end of the calendar. House Bill 615, the clerk will read. And actually, before that, for what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was in the chamber and would like to be noted as voting aye on the McNeil Amendment on House Bill 192.
Aye, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
The lady will be so recorded. House Bill 615, the clerk will read.
Representative McNeil, House Bill 615, a bill to be entitled an act to establish court costs to be paid by probation violators. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
Debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House, for the opportunity to present House Bill 615 to you. Basically, what House Bill 615 does is comes up with a one-time court cost for a probation violation. There are around 69,000 probation violations that go through our court every year, taking up the time of our probation officers, our judges, our district attorneys, and our clerks. This is a one-time cost. It would be one time per violation, and this passed Judiciary 1 unanimously and Finance unanimously, and I would appreciate your green book.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 615 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Pendleton, does the gentleman wish to record on this vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and 1 in the negative. House Bill 615 passes its second reading and will without objection. You're at a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 615 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 615 passes its third reading. Will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 7, the clerk will read.
Representative Tillman, Senate Bill 7, a bill to be entitled an act to allow food stamps to provide tables and chairs for customers to use while consuming drink or food upon the premises, and to authorize the push carts for mobile food units and to prepare food service on the premises, provided they are based on a commissary or restaurant located on premises of a facility containing 3,000 permanent seats. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Hager, rise?
Speak on the bill. The
gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This Senator Tillman's bill would do two things. It would allow convenience stores that serve biscuits and those things in the morning to put up to 8 seats in their premises under the same guidelines they're now using, and then would allow push carts and stands in baseball arenas and arenas and sports arenas that have at least 3,000 seats. Now, this is if they already have a restaurant or a commissary on site that they can be attached to. That's pretty much all it does, and I ask you to vote green.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 7 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and 1 in the negative. Senate Bill 7 passes its second reading and will without objection.
Objection.
The objection was heard. The bill will remain on the calendar.
Mr. Speaker, I just have one question for the bill sponsor and I could remove the objection.
Let me ask this. There's nothing before the calendar at this time. If the gentleman would wait, we'll release his objection. It'll be on for third where there can be a question, and then the chair will honor the gentleman's request to delay the bill if the gentleman wants it thereafter. But procedurally, the gentleman would need to withdraw his objection to third.
Withdraw the objection of third on that agreement.
Senate Bill 7, having passed second reading, no objection to third, is before the House. Clerk will read.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hall, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question of the bill sponsor.
Does the gentleman from Rutherford yield to the gentleman from Durham?
The bill carrier yields, yes.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I recognize it's not his dog. He's just walking it, but I wanted to ask a question about the additional requirements for inspection. Are those currently being carried out, or are those new inspections that are now being made mandatory?
Thank you for your question,
Representative Hall, are you speaking of Section 1 or Section 2? Section 2? Let me read those for just a second, and I'll tell you. I believe, and I'll have to find out, but I believe they are being carried out right now in the restaurant, and they would be moved on to the push cart in the same regulations.
Further discussion, further debate? Does the gentleman from Durham wish to make a motion for delay, or is the gentleman ready to proceed?
Ready to proceed.
Okay. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 7 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 7 passes its third reading. Be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 25. The clerk will read.
Senators Gunn, Apodaca, and Tarp. Senate Bill 25, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify when the county or municipality may enact zoning ordinances related to design and aesthetic controls. General Assembly of North Carolina and Act.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Dollar, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, Senate Bill 25 comes to us really after about a four-year journey starting in 2011. This bill had previously passed the Senate and got tied up in the House, and then the next session we passed it here in the House and it got tied up in the Senate. This year, hopefully, we're going to get it passed in both chambers in the same session, so we'll be in good shape. The last time this bill was here, it was as House Bill 150 in the last session. We passed this bill, I believe it was 94-22 on second reading and 98-18, I believe, on third reading. It is essentially the exact same bill that we passed the last time that it came here. Just to remind you of the features of this bill, it does clarify that municipalities and counties do not have the authority to regulate aesthetics. And this applies solely to single-family and two-family homes, and this applies to the outside cladding of the home, porches, exterior ornamentation that are non-structural, the location, style of windows and doors, location of those windows on the home, garage doors, the types of rooms, and the interior layout of rooms. There are quite a number of exceptions that were addressed over the time that this bill has developed in the last 4 or 5 years. This bill does not apply to any commercial structures, does not apply to multifamily structures. There are a range of exemptions with regard to historic districts. They're on the National Registry. Matters of safety doesn't apply to manufactured homes, doesn't apply to items covered under national flood insurance, doesn't apply to screening and buffering as may be required, and does not in any way prohibit a municipality or county from being able to regulate the height, bulk, orientation, or the location on the lot. Let me just be happy to answer any questions, but let me just say in summary that we do believe this bill is a balanced approach. It is in conformity to the latest rulings a few years ago in the Lanville decision, of those who are familiar with that decision. It is supported by the Home Builders Association, the Realtors, and it's also been supported by the Housing Coalition and a number of folks with Habitat for Humanity over the last several years. This bill helps us homeowners be able to have the homes that they want, and it helps make those homes more affordable, particularly for working people, and I think that's the reason why housing advocates as well as the builders are unified in support of this legislation. Mr. Speaker, I'd be happy to respond to any questions and would appreciate your continued support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Isler, rise?
See if Representative Dollar will answer a question.
Does the gentleman from Wake yield to the gentleman from Brunswick?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Dollar, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Dollar. People at the beach are concerned that 10, 15-bedroom houses may be described as one- and two-family bedrooms. Does this give the city, take away the right of the city to deny the zone, the permits for 10, 15 bedroom houses, which would be party houses?
Well, if you know, if someone can fit it into the lot under the bulk, under the size, under the location of the lot, the number of actual bedrooms, they would not be able to regulate the number of bedrooms in a single family or two family dwelling.
Thanks. Speak to the bill.
Yes, the gentleman from Brunswick has the floor to debate the bill.
And I'll address this to everyone, but Representative Dollar, I'd love to support a bill like this, and I just can't do it with that provision not being in there. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Carteret, Representative McElrath, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
I wasn't going to get up and speak on the bill, but I would like to answer Representative Eiler's question. The houses on the beach, since we have septic tanks rather than sewer systems, are limited. They limit the number of bedrooms and baths according to what your sewer system or your septic system will hold. So, and I also want to remind you that the bigger houses pay for our education in our coastal counties. The tax base there is very important to our counties. So why the cities would be objecting to this on the coastal areas, I have no idea. They still have control with these big homes with their septic tanks. And that's what should control it, not five city councilmen. Thank you.
Members, on behalf of Representatives Eiler, Hamilton, Davis, and Catlin, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the mayor of Wilmington, Bill Saffo, chairman of the New Hanover County Commissioners, Jonathan Barfield, the mayor of Wrightsville Beach, Bill Blair, and Wilmington City Council Member Neil Anderson, and Carolina Beach Town Council Member Sarah Freed. Would you all please stand so that we could welcome you with us today? Thank you for being with us. Also, members, our nurse of the day is Christy Parkhill from Hendersonville, North Carolina. And I believe she stepped out. Did she step off the floor again? Okay, we'll try again. And we also have an honorary page with us today, Jordan Fleming, who is also the grandson of Representative Richardson. Jordan, where are you? Thank you for being with us today. Please join me in welcoming. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Glazier, rise?
To speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to make similar comments to what I made 2 years ago when this passed the House. When the bill first came up, my sort of philosophic response was that I ought to be opposed to this. And then you kind of realize that that's not what we're here for, and sometimes we ought to get past our philosophy and kind of look at the governing principles and the law. And the law seemed to me pretty clear after Justice Jackson's opinion in Lanville Properties, which Representative Dollar alluded to. If we're not going to change our view of what zoning regulations are designed to do, and that's set out pretty clearly in 153A, 341, and that is to deal with things like overcrowding and provide for avoiding undue concentration and lessening congestion and securing safety and securing appropriate services as needed. Well, the color of my house doesn't fit any of those. And whether I put up one type of siding or another doesn't fit any of those as a general rule. And so unless we're willing to change sort of what our view of zoning is, then too many cities and municipalities have gone too far, which is what I think this is attempting to get back to and say what Justice Jackson said in a 5-2 opinion in Lanville, that there are rights and there are certain places in which all those things can take place, and they're set out in the first, I think it's almost 8 exemptions that are in the bill. But there are basic property rights that are being balanced and affected here. And municipalities can only go so far unless we change what their authority and jurisdiction is. We don't do that in this bill, and we don't do that in the statute. And so all this bill to me is really doing is saying and codifying exactly what Justice Jackson said are the authorities of counties and municipalities in the Lanville case. And there may be a day, number one, in which this body wants to reconsider sort of the zoning regs. I don't think we're at that day. And number two, as I suggested to the home builders, and even though I agree very much with the bill and what they're trying to do, it does leave municipalities, instead of resorting to scalpel, to use sledgehammers and to go a different route. And hopefully that won't happen, but I do hope that the tension that's created continues to allow discussion on this topic and a resolution community by community where there's agreement, and if not, back at the legislature. But for now, all I read this bill is doing is codifying what law really is and saying for those cities who determine whether I should have red paint or X windowsill or particular trim on my house, that absent it being in one of those exemptions, that's not a right that municipal ordinances ought to be doing across the state. And so I'm supporting this bill and encourage everyone to do so.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Lupke, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Members of the House, this is about design standards in cities and counties, where cities and counties have made a conscious decision to put these ordinances on the books. They have concluded, in the situations where they exist, they have concluded that their towns or their counties need this kind of help to ensure that neighborhoods are compatible with one another. What we are doing here is once again playing the role of big government to override the concerns of local government. Local governments have made decisions that they need these kinds of regulations in order to make their cities better places to live. And if the people of those local governments, the citizens of those local governments, do not support these kinds of regulations, they can and will vote out the members of the council that and county commissioners who have put these bills on the books. We should not, at the level of the General Assembly, big government, be telling local governments what to do. Local governments can make their own choices. I would urge you to vote against the bill.
Mr. Speaker. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Stam, rise?
Would Representative Lucas yield for a question?
Lucas or Lupke?
Lupke.
Sorry. Does the gentleman from Durham yield to the gentleman from Wake?
I won't go toward the
he yields.
The obvious that we do look alike. But yes, I'll yield for a question.
Representative Lupke, don't you think we could also interpret this as we're protecting our people from big local government?
I would say, Representative Stam, that the bigger government is the General Assembly, which is why I have problems with this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, rise?
Ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Wake yield to the gentleman from Union?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Dollar. I'd just like you to explain whether this creates a problem for homeowners associations within a municipality that may have architectural requirements. Now, does this go counter to that, or just explain the impact that that would have?
No, it does not, and I appreciate the question. I should have listed that in the exemptions. This does not affect agreed-upon homeowner association covenants.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, sir. One of the main reasons I tried to come to Raleigh, and one of the main reasons I got elected to come to Raleigh, was to reduce government control over people's lives and property. And I just feel it really mentioned the HOAs. You know, I feel like doing the opposite of this bill is making the town a de facto HOA. And I certainly wouldn't want any part of that myself, and I don't impose on others. And so, as I've told some of my constituents who want this bill badly, I can't wait to vote for it. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Inskeep, rise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill will render ineffective Section 15.187 of our local ordinance in Carrboro. I'm going to just read one of the items here. In any architecturally integrated subdivision, the developer may create lots and construct buildings without regard to any minimal lot size or setback restrictions, except that the lot boundaries requirement shall apply to the extent that the subdivided tract abuts land that is not part of the subdivision. That seems to be common sense to me, that a city ought to be able to say that if your land is next to another subdivision, that you have to have a certain setback. This bill would not allow our towns to do that, make that kind of decision. I'll be a no vote on this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Turner, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Wake yield to the gentleman from Buncombe?
How you?
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. During the deliberations and crafting of this bill and talk in committee, was there ever any thought or discussion surrounding the size of municipalities? And I think of small towns like Hot Springs, North Carolina, where my grandmother grew up. I think about Montreat and things like that, where you've got towns that are very small and are trying to maintain a certain character that they have as part of their appeal, that's part of what attracts tourists and visitors to them. And a city like Charlotte or Raleigh, you know, they can absorb, you know, a variety of different styles a lot easier than a town that is 2 or 3 square miles, you know, 1,000 residents or less. And I was just curious if any thought was given to those smaller municipalities and the tools they might have to maintain their sense.
Well, to answer your question, the abuses that we have seen have been both from towns small, medium, and large, and they're being addressed in here. However, I would point out that if you have an historic district, that is, you know, that you've got in a small town, or if you have a district in which everyone volunteers to be governed by a certain set of rules or regulations, then they can do that. They can certainly band together and say this is what we want for this particular special district. So they're certainly capable of doing that. In many of the cases that you're talking about, you are talking about commercial properties, and of course commercial properties are not impacted by this legislation.
Follow-up?
Does the gentleman yield to an additional question?
He yields. Earlier this year, if memory serves me correct, we voted on some annexation legislation where not 100% of the housing and the people living in that area wanted to be annexed, and I believe that passed this chamber. Is it a reasonable sort of hurdle to have to overcome then to think that 100% of the people would have to agree to a zoning regulation? Is that something that we feel like realistically could happen when we're willing to approve a annexation of less than 100% approval?
Well, there are overlay districts, if I'm using the terminology correctly, that are in place all around the state. So that does occur. We've got plenty of examples around the state.
Mr. Speaker, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Glazier, rise?
To see if Representative Dollar might yield for a question.
Does the gentleman from Wake yield to the gentleman from Cumberland?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, Representative Dollar. Just so I'm clear, and I thought I was, this bill only deals with building design elements, which is precisely defined in the bill on page 2. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Follow up.
Does the gentleman yield to an additional question?
I yield.
He yields.
And those, as I read it, are only exterior building color, type or style of exterior cladding material, style or materials of the roof structure, exterior non-structural architectural ornamentation and location of architectural styling on the windows or garage, and the number of types of rooms not including kitchens, and specifically does not include, among other things, anything to do with the use or of buffering or screening or other devices to minimize visual impact or mitigate light or noise or protect privacy. So it's a rather confined definition, is it not?
Yes, sir, it is.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Carteret, Representative McHale, after us?
To speak a second time on the bill.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I served for three terms as a town commissioner in a beach town in Emerald Isle. And some of the board members wanted to do this exact same thing. They wanted to tell people exactly what color they could paint their house. They wanted to tell them what color, what design they wanted, how they wanted the windows to be. And thank God there were three of us on the five-member board at that time that voted against that. When people own property, it is their property. There are setback laws. There are all kinds of things you have to follow. But when it comes to telling you what color your house should be, what angle the roof pitch should be, those things should be your choice. And when a Representative Eiler was talking about his properties that he was talking about were in the sewer area rather than septic. So there is a problem with that as far as how many bedrooms you can build. But if someone has a big enough property to build 17 bedrooms, what the town should be doing, if it's a party house, is doing ordinances against noise and things like that to protect the neighbors. They should not be telling that homeowner that owns that property how many bedrooms they can put in that house. They love to get those taxes back in, but they don't like to have the big houses. He said the neighbors were complaining. I call those neighbors got miners. They have their homes. They have their land. And when somebody else comes in and does something a little different or a little bigger, they don't like it. They're got miners. Got mine. I want to draw the bridge up now. Please vote for this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross Rice?
Ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Wake yield to the gentleman from Alamance?
I yield.
He yields.
I'll see if I could phrase this the correct way. As far as new construction, you go into a new neighborhood or you're going to build new homes, I'll say a plat of land. I don't have a problem with, you know, the way this is designed as far as, you know, colors and roof structures, that kind of thing. But what I'm trying to clarify, what I want to clarify is, I'm trying to do this from past experience, an old neighborhood, established neighborhood, and I'm not talking about a historic neighborhood or anything like that, but an established neighborhood that is in a municipality, where the structures are, single family residence, for example. Does this bill protect that neighborhood if for whatever reason one of those homes was, demolished, or for some reason the home was gone and, another home was built back in its place? And I hope I'm making that clear.
Infill development.
Infill property, right. And that's one question. And then the other is, and this is going back to a problem that we had in my city, where you had an old established neighborhood. Again, it wasn't a historic neighborhood, but it had big homes in it, a lot of character to the neighborhood. And then the problem that we started having about 10 or 12 or 15 years ago was people buying these old homes in these established neighborhoods and going in and putting extra doors on it and that kind of thing and turning those into boarding houses, which created a whole new array of problems. And I guess what I'm trying to understand, in this bill is that addressed or is that something that the city would no longer be able to have any control over? Let's say whether somebody goes into an existing neighborhood, and I'm talking about some really good old neighborhoods, and turning a single-family home into a multifamily structure just by changing the number of doors and kitchens or whatever. If that's clear.
Right. Well, of course, and this is just sort of a side note, but as you know, in Burlington, you can have single-family neighborhood and they will put in, the city allows, attached multifamily or attached single-family housing to be put in those neighborhoods. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, that I know what happens in Burlington from my personal experience. But in terms of what you're saying with respect to infill development, obviously a builder is going to have to comply with the screening, with the bulk, the height, the orientation of that home on that lot in conformity to what the city ordinances would require. But the neighbors can't tell you, you know, how many windows to have on the front of your house, or, you know, what kind of cladding you can have on the front of that house, any more than you would have told them when they built their house what they had to build it out of. With respect to boarding, we believe that's addressed in here. And if no other way, it's addressed in that that is a commercial use, and in most neighborhoods that I'm aware of would not be allowable already, and could certainly be regulated by the city, that any given neighborhood would not, you would not be able to have those types of commercial uses.
Follow up. Does the gentleman yield to an additional question?
I yield.
He yields.
And I guess that's where I'm having a problem, a little bit of a problem with it, is that I know that we had a real hard time trying to regulate, a boarding house. I'm going to use that as an example because I've already used that. Of course, you're going to have a neighborhood that gets upset, and rightfully so, because I think part of, you know, I understand the part about what, you know, people have a right to do what they want to do with their property, but sometimes that can be to the detriment of not only their property value, but all the surrounding property values around them. And I just want to make sure in this bill that as far as an infill piece of property, that we're not doing something here that's going to cause a problem down the road, you know, with an example like I used, the boarding house, and destroying the value of the surrounding properties around it. And there are a multitude of other problems that can come out of that type of situation, but property value is one that that I think cities are sensitive to. Homeowners in a neighborhood are sensitive to it. That's what they want from their city leaders.
I believe the and we can talk to you offline. I believe the provision in there with respect to zoning at the top of the zoning of a lot with respect to the top of page 2, lines 1 through 4, I believe respond to your question. But let me just answer it this way. There's nothing in this bill that will lead neighborhoods to suddenly break out in a rash of boarding facilities, whether it be 1, 2, or 3. That door is not being opened by this legislation.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
You know, we've put a lot of bills through here. I thought about that night that we were here for what, crossover? We were here 12 and a half hours or 13 and a half hours. And when the night was over, I looked at the bills that we passed, and I thought, which of these bills was that important that North Carolina is better off that we stayed here 12 and a half hours passing them? And I couldn't think of one of them. If this bill would have been there that night, I'd have said we'd have had one good bill that we were able to pass that would benefit the people of North Carolina. Because all of the arguments against this that I'm hearing are, well, what about the town, and what about the city, and what about what they think, and this and that? Well, what about what the people think? What about what the property owners think? What about the costs involved
When developers are told that you've got to add this, you've got to do this, no, you can't use that type of cladding, you've got to use this type of cladding, which is twice as expensive, makes the house much more expensive for people. There's a lot of these things, a lot of these aesthetic designs that are imposed upon the builders and imposed upon people that add to the cost of the home. So why don't we, I don't know, as a novel concept, pass this bill and allow people to build their homes the way that they should be able to build them. This isn't going to affect the structural integrity of the home because the cities still have the authority to do that. But if it doesn't affect the structural integrity of the home, such as where the window goes or that the kitchen has to be located over here and not over here, I mean, all that silly stuff that a city or a town should not be telling you what to do in the first place. We know this. You know it and I know it. The best thing we can do is go ahead and pass this bill and at least walk out of here saying, hey, we passed something that was worth passing.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To ask Representative Dollar a question.
Does the gentleman from Wake yield to the lady from Orange?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Dollar, I understand the need for this bill for certain issues, but I'm still concerned that there are unintended consequences. So I think that my question has is similar to the one about the boarding houses. Provision here in the Carborough Town Ordinance says the number of dwelling units in an architecturally integrated subdivision may not exceed the maximum density authorized for the tract of land. So if you have R4 zoning and someone builds four houses, you're within that. But if you convert those into more dwelling units, then they would exceed the allowable dwelling units for that tract of land. And I think that that's so, do you know if your bill would affect this? I've read the bill and I think there's some question about whether it really does or not.
Well, let me answer this. And I think this, gets back to, as you say, what Representative, Ross was asking about. If you'll, look at, and I think this is the right, at the very bottom of the first page, lines 34 and 35, the phrase building design elements, which is what we're talking about, does not include any of the following: height, bulk, orientation, or location of a structure on a zoning lot. Two, the use of buffering or screening to minimize visual impacts or to mitigate the impacts of light, noise, or to protect the privacy of neighbors. Or three, and this gets at, I believe, what you're asking about, and that is regulations adopted pursuant to this article governing the permitted uses of land and or structures subject to the North Carolina Residential Code for one- and two-family dwellings. And in I'm not a lawyer, but in legal terms, that covers, I believe, the issues raised both by yourself, Representative Insko, as well as Representative Ross and a couple of other folks.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Pendleton, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
I speak in favor of this bill. When I was a county commissioner, we have one town in our county that really just goes overboard on restrictions on people. So I want to put white pines in my yard. No, you got to put dogwoods. I mean, really, is that minuscule? So I speak in favor of this.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Pender, Representative Millis, rise?
That's Representative Dollar question.
Does the gentleman from Wake yield to the gentleman from Pender?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Dollar, in your presentation, just want to clarify that I heard you correctly, is that this bill clarifies for local governments what existing law already is in regard to regulations when it comes to aesthetics. Did I hear that correctly? This clarifies existing law.
Well, it clarifies, and I believe it would be case law. It would be, I'm looking over my lawyer over here. It would be case law, particularly that coming out of Lanville versus Cabarrus County a few years ago. Yes, sir.
A follow-up?
Does the gentleman yield to an additional question?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Dollar, for that response. And also here in all the discussion here, just feel free to answer this or not, but there are individuals in our state, is their private property protected, or is their property values protected? Meaning that, do we have the right to private property, or am I misconstrued, does one have the right to property value? I'm a little concerned about some of the comments that I've heard here today, and just wanted to see if you can comment on whether we have the right to private property, or do we have some type of right to one's property value. A little confused about some of the comments.
Well, I'm not quite sure how to answer that question. Probably one of our esteemed attorneys can give you a better answer. I just look at it as a layman. You are protecting the rights of the property owner, the private property owner, in terms of trying to build a home that fits their aesthetic. Depending on where they're building it and, you know, what the circumstances surrounding it. I believe this bill is actually a very good balance between someone who owns a home, a property, someone who's developing a piece of property, for that matter, and the rights of the surrounding community. I believe there's a good balance there. It had gotten out of balance, and there were many examples all over the state of it having gotten way out of balance. I believe this restores the appropriate balance and is in conformity to the decision rendered by our North Carolina Supreme Court.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Isler, rise?
See if President Dollar will yield to another question.
Does the gentleman from Waite yield to the gentleman from Brunswick?
I yield.
He yields.
Senator Dollar, I believe I found a way to support the bill. Under the item you read, page 1, line 35, the term bulk, does that have anything to do with square footage and that sort of thing?
Yes, sir. That would be a correct interpretation. So you can't build, you know, a monster beyond what is allowable for that lot in that zoning area. And that is not impacted by this legislation.
Thank you. Speak last time on the bill.
The gentleman from Brunswick has the floor to debate the bill.
Very briefly, instead of focusing on bedrooms, I'm going to focus on the square footage. I'll be able to support the bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Ash, Representative Jordan, rise?
Debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
I just want to stand up and make two quick points here that were made when this bill was 150 last session, and that is that the local governments that were engaged in these practices didn't have the authority in the first place, and that's what the court case said. That's what we're codifying. They didn't have that authority in the first place to be doing these things. The second is, if they would like to do these things, then they can request a local bill to take care of it for their particular community. Thank you. I vote green on this bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 25 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Malone, does the gentleman wish to record on this vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. In 98, having voted in the affirmative and 17 in the negative, Senate Bill 25 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 25 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 25 passes its third reading and will be enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 424, the clerk has already read this bill. Is the who's handling this bill? Is Representative Stevens, is the lady ready to proceed on that bill?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you. Members of the House, what this bill it does, it's one of several that we've been working on for foster children, and this raises the age to 19 that you can stay in foster care, so it gives you more time to transition. As a matter of fact, I believe the Senate is going to raise it to 21. But that's certainly something we're still in negotiation with. But we did discover one issue, thanks to Representative Dollar. He mentioned it to me, and that is that we provided appropriations in here, and those appropriations are already in the budget. So, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to send forth an amendment.
Ladies recognize to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Stevens moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 16 through 26.
Lady is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, all this amendment does is remove all the appropriations because they're already in the budget. I'd ask for your support on the amendment.
Could the lady from Surrey approach the dais, please, along with the appropriations chair? Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment 1 sent forth by Representative Stevens. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, the amendment is adopted. We are now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 424 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 424 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
Representative of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 424 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 424 passes its third reading. It's ordered enrolled and sent to the Senate. For what purpose? And engrossed, excuse me, engrossed and sent to the Senate. For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
For a motion.
The gentleman is recognized for a motion.
I would ask that third reading on House Bill 192 be moved over to the calendar for Monday.
Without objection? So ordered. For what purpose does the gentleman from Pender, Representative Millis, rise?
To be recorded as an aye on House Bill 560.
The gentleman will be so recorded. Notices and announcements. Oh, actually, before we do that, special message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that Senate failed to concur with Senate Bill 333, House Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to require that the State Board of Education include specific data in its annual report of teaching profession. Is requested conferees, President Pro Tempore appoint Senator Suchet, Chair, Senators Daniels, Curtis, and Ford on the part of the Senate to confer with like committee appointed to the honorable body at the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Lang, Principal Clerk.
Chair appoints Representative Elmore, Chair, Representative Johnson of Cabarrus, Representative Horn, and Representative Glazier. As conferees of Senate Bill 333, the Senate will be so notified. Representatives Malone and West are recognized to send forth a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Malone and West, Wildlife Resources Committee report, Senate Bill 374, modify for higher license logbook requirement, favorable.
Counter. Madam Clerk, please add Representative Stamm as a conferee to Senate Bill 333 as well.
Members, I don't see our nurse. She was here earlier and then left, but so no need to applaud. She's not here, but just for information, our nurse today is Christy Parkhill from Hendersonville, North Carolina. We appreciate her being here with us today. So, that's two nurses this week from Hendersonville, Representative. Oh, same one. Okay. All right. For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Members of the House Committee on Agriculture will reconvene at 3:30 sharp. We will vote today on Senate Bill 513, the Farm Act.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
For an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
The House Judiciary 4 Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in room 1228-1327. We have two bills on the calendar, Senate Bill 161, Supreme Court Sessions in Morganton, which is, for your information, the same as a bill that we passed unanimously in the House earlier, and Senate Bill 462, Public Authorities, Nonprofit Corporations.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Waddell, rise?
For point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, I rise today to congratulate the Whiteville Wolfpack for winning the 1A baseball championship against South Stanley near Norwood, and just one more, I guess, small defeat, Representative Burr, for Norwood. But didn't want to push that in too much. But I do want to congratulate them, and they have been state champions, as has South Stanley, in their defense for several years. But thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Johnson, Representative Daughtry, rise?
Make an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
As you notice on your calendar, Judiciary 1 will meet tomorrow at 12:30 in room 421, but there are two additional bills that will be added to the calendar, and you will see those on your dashboard. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, Judiciary 3 will meet tomorrow, 12:30 in room 421. Senate Bill 298 will not be heard. That will be withdrawn at the request of the bill sponsor. We'll be hearing Senate Bill 423 and Senate Bill 578. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I have placed on all members' desk a little flyer from Balsam Range. Tomorrow we're going to have a real treat at the General Assembly. This fabulous North Carolina Bluegrass Band, the 2014 IBMA Entertainers of the Year, will be on our North Portico around lunchtime for a little mini concert. So I hope you'll take time out of your busy schedule to enjoy some fabulous North Carolina bluegrass. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, rise?
To see if the gentleman from Haywood would yield to a question.
Does the gentleman from Haywood yield to the gentleman from Wake? He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The question I would ask the gentleman from Haywood is, will there be dancing at this, and will legislators be permitted to dance?
You never know. I can tell you Buddy Melton is one of the best buck dancers in the country, so maybe he'll hit a lick, and you never know. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Person, Representative Yarbrough, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
This weekend, the South Granville High School Vikings won the 2A baseball championship. And at the same time, the Lady Vikings were bringing home the 2A softball championship. This has only been accomplished four times in our state history, and so I'd like to congratulate those children.
For what purpose does the lady from Yancey, Representative Presnell, rise?
To a point of personal privilege.
Lady is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I just want to also add on the Balsam Range that's going to be here tomorrow. Western North Carolina has a storied bluegrass music history, and their Balsam Range's records and performances preserve Western North Carolina's bluegrass heritage that dates back hundreds of years. Paper Town, the band's fourth album and the 2013 IBMA album of the year, honors the town of Canton, a town that means a great deal to the economic vitality of my district and is better known as Evergreen. And thank you very much.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Turner, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to announce that our Inca High girls softball team, the Sugar Jets, secured their title as the NCHSAA 3A state champions this past Saturday with a 10-0 win over North Guilford High. My condolences to Representative Hardister. The Sugar Jets had an undefeated season, 28-0. This is their first state championship since 96. It's the best season in the school's history.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Inquiry, the chair.
The gentleman may state his inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Lucas and I have an engagement for Thursday, and I would like for him to honor that, so I'm trying to get the schedule for Thursday.
Well, it looks like the session will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday.
Thank you, Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Conrad, rise?
For an announcement.
The lady has the floor for an announcement.
Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow at 11 a.m. at 6:43, and check your email. We are adding one additional bill for discussion only. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Not to be outdone by my associates around this esteemed body, but I'd like to announce that Marvin Ridge High School Mavericks won the state 3A baseball championship this past Saturday right here in Raleigh, beating Pikeville Aycock 7-3. Congratulations for our first state championship for the Marvin Ridge Mavericks.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise?
Mr. Speaker, for a moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
We didn't have a school in Onslow County to win a state championship, but my cousin is a principal at North Duplin. It's in Representative Jimmy Dixon's district, and North Duplin High School Cyclone Girls won the state championship in 1A softball. So just wanted to mention that on behalf of Representative Dixon.
For what purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
For a point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
The lady has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Many of you may not know, but my son Jonathan lives in Japan, and this weekend his Kurei Hiroshima Prefecture touch rugby team, the Kurei Shipheads, won their division championship this weekend. Thank you.
Representative Fisher, could you please repeat the name of that team? For what purpose does the gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I'm not sure what our school won, but I know that our citizens of Moore County won their superintendent back last night.
For what purpose does the lady from Franklin, Representative Richardson, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for a moment of personal privilege, please.
The lady is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I would like to announce that my ex-seatmate celebrated her birthday on Friday, and since her present seatmate did not announce it, I decided I would. And I know she's going to get me afterwards, but Rose Gill's birthday was last Friday. Thank you.
The clerk is recognized for an announcement.
House Committee on Finance, Subcommittee on Annexation, Deannexation will meet Wednesday, June 10th at 8:30 a.m. and 14:25. House Committee on Health will meet Wednesday, June 10th at 10 a.m. in room 643.
Further notices and announcements. Not the gentleman from Harnett. Representative Lewis is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, in honor of all the sports accomplishments of the students of this great state, and subject to re-referrals of bills and resolutions, receipt of committee reports, I move that the House adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, June 10th at 2 o'clock p.m.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Brody, that the House adjourn subject to the re-referral of bills and resolutions and receipt of committee reports in honor of the great sports accomplishments of the state of North Carolina and Japan, I believe, that the House adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, June 10th at 2 p.m. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
On motion of Representative Lewis, House Bill 38, Judicial Efficiency Effect Administration of Justice, is withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations and re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.